The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
All right, Matt, I realized the other day that I got the words jacuzzi and yakuza mixed up.
Okay.
So now I'm in hot water with the Japanese mafia.
There we go.
Food good.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales. All right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
Man, I'm doing really well.
Excellent. Excellent. So before we get into it, we'll say go check out the Podbelly Network at podbelly.com. You can find a list of shows that we're happy to be associated with, and you can find some tips and tricks on podcasting if you're into such things, if you're thinking about starting your own podcast. I know everybody and their mama's got one, so you could start one with your mama if you wanted to and have, you know, everybody and their mama's podcast.
Me and mama.
Yep, me and mama. I'm trademarking that name. You can use it, but I need finder fees or something for it. But go over there, podbelly.com, and check it out. We also want to say go check out patreon.com/graveyardtales. Sign up to become a patron. We've got $1, $5, and $10 levels, and we got something for everybody over there. We have a ton of bonus episodes. It's a back catalog we've been doing for years. So if you want more content, go over there, sign up. And for our $10 a month patrons, they get our second show, Side Quest, that we've been doing for 20-something episodes now, where it has nothing to do with Graveyard Tales, nothing like Graveyard Tales. It's a blue show, to use the old term. It's blue. And we basically just try to mess with the other person. Like, I'll try to make Matt laugh or freak him out and vice versa. And we have a dang good time with it.
Yeah. Yeah. In all seriousness, there is so much great content, that has gone into, our Patreon. So go check it. I mean, SideQuest is a blast. We are having fun with it. It's funny. It's irreverent. You know, we kind of just let loose. So yeah, now's a great time. Go check it out. And you're helping the show, so we appreciate it.
Absolutely. So Matt, that's all I've got for the intro. So why don't you tell us, what are we talking about tonight, brother?
Okay. Tonight we have two very special guests joining us.
Mm-hmm.
We have Nat and Allie from Let's Get Haunted podcast, and they reached out to us and said, hey, you want to get together and do something? And we were like, absolutely. We are always on board with jumping on with another show. And so we've been on their show. They're now on our show. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. But if you ought to go check out their show. Okay.
Right.
You know, Let's Get Haunted is the only paranormal investigative journalism podcast, it says, about stuff that may or may not have even happened in the first place. Yeah. It's hosted by longtime friends Nat and Allie and listened to by a loyal legion of haunties. So Let's Get Haunted uploads every Wednesday with hours of spooky content covering everything from real life historical mysteries to random dark web rabbit holes and everything in between. So go check them out. We're going to have Nat and Allie in here in just a few minutes, and I think you guys are going to enjoy it.
Yep, I think you'll like it. Go check them out wherever you get podcasts. All right, everybody. So we have the guest that we teased to you in the intro here. Thank y'all so much for joining us on Graveyard Tales. Could y'all introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them a little bit about yourself?
Allie, you want to start?
Sure. My name is Allie, and Nat and I have known each other for a very long time. We met in college, and we started this podcast together called Let's Get Haunted. And there's a lot of crossover between the type of topics that you guys cover on Graveyard Tales and the type of topics that we cover. So we were really excited about this collab.
Yeah, and I'm Nat. I'm supposed to be talking about myself. Allie's supposed to be talking about herself, but we think of ourselves as like an entity. We can't like not just talk about each other. We are a unit. Sometimes we have different competing beliefs, but at the end of the day, we always come back together stronger.
So yeah, so like two-headed cryptid is how we like to think of ourselves.
Yeah.
So you guys met in college. Where did you go to school?
Loyola Marymount University.
Yeah. Ah, okay. Okay.
It's a small liberal arts college in LA, and lots of kooky characters there. You know, LA has a lot of kooky characters, and then you get interesting people that go to a small liberal arts school. So yeah, there was lots of interesting things, mysterious things afoot happening.
Yep. I can only imagine.
Yeah, I was a theater major, so, you know, that already makes me kind of weird. Alyssa was an icon who, she was studying everything, but she, like, never went to class. It was kind of interesting. And, you know, she's one of the smartest people I know, so maybe she didn't need to go to class.
Oh, wow, thank you.
Yeah.
I understand my son goes to a fine arts academy, so I get the kooky people thing, and I don't know. I fit right in with them, you know, the weird fine arts people and liberal arts people. They're fun. That explains why you ended up in this field that we're all in.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. And it was also, I mean, I'm not Catholic, and it is a Jesuit college. So for me, it was super interesting to see all of the, I don't know, it was kind of like my first exposure to all the kooky parts of Catholicism that make it so interesting. Like, I don't know, relics are so cool. I was raised Lutheran, which is just like a box that you walk into, and there's only a cross, and that's all you're allowed to have. And so it was really cool to see big stained glass windows and all the rituals associated with Catholicism and relics, and man, super cool. Very haunted.
The like Vatican Library and stuff is a topic that Matt and I want to cover eventually. We're kind of afraid to, because we don't want to get taken out by somebody for revealing secrets.
We've talked about things that are in the Vatican Library or supposedly in the archives. You know, they won't confirm or deny that this exists. But
there's like a giant grimoire in there, right?
Yeah.
Like they have, and they have like supposedly the Book of the Dead is in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Supposedly. Nobody knows 100%. But yeah, they're supposed to have a copy of the Grand Grimoire in there and all that stuff. So who knows? I mean, it wouldn't honestly surprise anybody if they did.
I mean, no.
Oh, yeah. No, they for sure. They for sure have things like that. Yeah. We talked a little bit about the Vatican earlier this year with the 1933 Italy UFO crash. That's supposed to be one of the first UFO crashes ever that had materials retrieved. And then it was held at the Vatican. And then the Pope was like, hey, we got to get this stuff to the Americans because they're studying things like this. So I don't know. I feel like the Pope and the Vatican, they're on, I mean, they have like their own government. You know what I mean? Like they're kind of immune to the laws of Italy. Yeah. So I just feel like there's tons of cool mysticism surrounding Catholicism and the Vatican that is very interesting to me as an outsider.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that may be why we're kind of intrigued by it too, is neither one of us are Catholic, but from the outside looking in, it looks like a lot of mysterious stuff that I would love to know.
And right.
I don't think if I converted to Catholicism that I would get some kind of pamphlet that says, here's what we've got. But if I do get that, I'm converting to Catholicism tomorrow because I want that pamphlet.
I mean, half my family is. So I've been to Catholic weddings and funerals and everything. And everything about it, the pageantry, it's, it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is.
The outfits.
Yeah. My dad is.
Yeah, my dad's Catholic, and my mom is Protestant. And so when they got married, they kind of had to pick a neutral party, and they decided that Lutheranism was pretty neutral.
That's funny.
The closest to both.
So, yeah, close, like, you know, or or furthest away from both. Yeah, I don't know. But pretty interesting. Yeah, but I actually went with my dad to see the relic of St. Jude. Made its way through California. Mm. The Pope sent it to the U.S. as some sort of offering after COVID to kind of go on a tour of the world to bring hope to people, I guess. And so my dad was like, hey, I really want to see this. Do you want to come with me? And I was like, what is it? And it's literally an arm bone, a super old arm bone of someone who was allegedly the cousin of Jesus. His name is Saint Jude. And I was like, what? There's just an old arm bone going around the country. I have to see this. And so I went to it and I brought all these little trinkets, and they had some there for sale. I mean, it was like a dollar for some of these little trinkets. And then you press them to the glass on the outside of the arm bone. And then you have to like recite a couple of sentences. And then all of the things that you press to the glass become third class relics. So a first class relic is like a bone or tissue or body of a saint. A second class relic would be something that they owned. And then a third class relic is something that you touch to a first class relic. So that's what I mean with all the like mysticism and hauntedness of the religion. It's just so cool and interesting.
Yeah, I have asked my wife, Ashley, and Matt that when I die to take my remains on a tour of the U.S. And I don't know that anybody will show up to see them, but I'm just going to have them caravan me. Have them caravan me state to state and go, here's Adam from Graveyard Tales. And they go, who?
Yeah, who is this clown?
Yeah.
What? Why are you carrying a dead body around?
Yeah. It's just a baseball cap, bones, and a beard. I don't understand.
We're going to put a rainbow wig on him.
Yeah, and a little honky nose.
Your skin disintegrates, but not your beard. I love it.
Yeah. It would just be beard and hat. That's all that's left.
Yeah. That's your essence.
Uh-huh. It has become that. I'm the hatted one. He's the bald one. So.
Yeah, you guys have like a signature look. I was looking at the Instagram and this is the look. What we're seeing right now is basically what we're getting. I think maybe in the videos I was watching too, you might have been wearing the same black shirts also.
Probably.
Yeah. It's my recording night outfit. Yeah.
Right. You're like Steve Jobs. You have a uniform and you do what you do well because you don't have to worry about what you're going to wear.
Exactly.
Already.
Exactly.
So we had a listener that did a caricature of the two of us. And it is very reminiscent of the caricature at the end of Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, you know, where it's like the most absolute racist image you can imagine of an Indian guy and of an Asian guy. It is absolutely ridiculous. I said, that's what we look like when they did this caricature, you know, bald guy with a beard, guy with a hat, you know, it's like,
Right.
We've got one of us as Simpson characters, you know. It's
We've
got some pretty creative listeners out there that have done, like, the Scooby-Doo poster behind me. A listener did that for us. So
that's great. Yeah. That's fantastic.
That's awesome.
So, you know, that I don't know why they thought that Adam should be carrying me. I guess that's just
look at me. I don't.
Yeah, I know. I know. I've got you by 100 pounds at least.
Well, that's true. You can backpack me everywhere. But all right, Matt. So, tell us what are we talking about tonight, brother?
All right. So, I went north of the U.S. to find an interesting urban legend to discuss tonight, and I came across a few, and I settled on this one because I had never heard it, and I had never heard anything quite like it. And, you know, as I kind of got into it, I thought, they've kind of solved this thing, but looking deeper, they haven't necessarily, and you'll figure out what I'm talking about. We're going to talk about the tale of Coughlin's Coffin. Okay.
I've never heard of this.
You've never heard of this.
That's rare for both of us to have never heard of something.
Aha. See, I knew. I was like, I've never heard of this. Okay. So this is a regional legend that goes back to one of Adam and I did a show about this place just about a month or so ago, Prince Edward Island. And well, let's just kind of get into it, because it's really odd. So, Charles Coughlin, he was an actor, okay, and he was a Victorian actor, and the legend is that he had always wanted his remains after he died to be taken back to his home on Prince Edward Island. But, you know, in the late 1800s, that was easier said than done. But a lot of people believe that he actually made it without anybody really doing anything to get him there. So, you know, Canada has a long history of exporting a lot of their most talented actors and musicians and performers to the U.S. Mm-hmm.
Justin Bieber.
Rush. I mean, come on. But the tradition goes all the way back to the late 1800s in the days of Charles Coughlin. And he was a classically trained theater actor. Now, he was supposedly born on Prince Edward Island, which is Canada's smallest province, and he studied theater in England, but then he was brought to America by a New York manager named Augustin Daly. And Augustin Daly put on these Broadway shows and perform. And so Coughlin, working with Daly, he did Shakespearean comedies and these, you know, big theatrical productions. And he had a very long and successful career, which he eventually performed a play that he wrote himself in 1898. And it's based on Alexandre Dumas's French language biography of English actor Edward Kean. Now, if you're thinking, man, that sounds incredibly boring.
I was.
I think this probably sounds terrible, but anyway, this is what he did. I mean, this was like his swan song, so to speak.
Was this like a beloved actor, or was he just like a random guy?
No, he was not a random guy. I don't know that he was beloved, but he was very well known.
Okay. So he's like famous.
Yeah. So, I mean, he toured the U.S., people knew who he was, you know, even at a time where, you know, there was no television, you know, everything was by, you know, word of mouth and newspapers and so forth. People knew who Charles Coughlin was. And the folklorist Sterling Ramsey wrote a book about Prince Edward Island. And he said, that Charles Coughlin loved Prince Edward Island. He said this was his haven. Mm-hmm. And there was another author that wrote an article in 1962 for the magazine Fate, which sounds pretty cool. Have y'all heard of this magazine?
Yeah.
Okay. So he went and wrote this article about how much that Coughlin just loved Prince Edward Island. And he quoted in that article, he said he never forgot, nor did he allow his friends to forget, what a gypsy fortune teller told him, that he would die in an American southern city, but that eternal rest would come to him only in the place of his birth, Prince Edward Island.
Oh,
no.
How many stories? I mean, there's a lot of people from this time that had stories from old gypsy women that told them how they were going to die or where they were going to die or all this stuff. I mean, so, you know, there were a lot of people that had these stories. This was his.
I remember hearing stories growing up about, quote, gypsy women.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like nowadays you can't say that, but they still do in Eastern Europe. They have gypsies in Eastern Europe, but I don't feel like nowadays in the U.S. or Canada that there is the population of gypsies that there used to be. But I remember hearing it a lot back growing up. And so I know before that even more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I was a kid, like in the 90s, you used to be able to go put a quarter in an arcade. And it was like someone would tell, like a fake mannequin would tell you your future. Mm-hmm. And it was literally called Gypsy Fortune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Alyssa and I did an episode like a few seasons back and someone had to tell us too. We don't say gypsy. I think it's Romani. Is that what you're supposed to say, Alyssa?
Yeah. Or traveler. Yeah, it depends on which population you're talking about, because I guess there's Irish travelers, there's Romani travelers. So I don't know what population was in Canada. That is too far beyond my field of study, which is just being an all-around haunted person. But... Yeah, it does make me wonder, because, you know, if you go to New Orleans, for example, there's people on the street that'll tell your fortune, and it's very, I don't know, there's an air of credibility around these people because they've got their little booths set up and they seem like they really know what they're talking about. But I wonder what it would have been like at the time that this story takes place. Like, was he seeking out somebody to tell his fortune, or did someone just stop him on the street and was like, you're going to die? Because I don't know. That might be a different reaction for him than if he was seeking it out.
This sounds like he was seeking it out, because an actress that he worked with very frequently was a woman named Lily Langtry. And in her 1925 autobiography, she identifies this gypsy, as she calls her, as a crystal gazer who made the prediction while Coughlin was a young man. So this was something that he talked about frequently, and, you know, Lily Langtry was one of his confidants. So he had told her the story several times. So, you know, this kind of invokes the idea of the little tent, you know, you go in, you know, madam, whatever, there's a crystal ball on the table. She comes out wearing a turban or something, you know, so this is more like what he experienced and how he was told this information.
I think it'd freak me out more if she just approached me on the street.
Oh, 100%.
You know,
you're walking down the street and some old lady just runs up to you and goes, you're going to die.
Hey,
what?
Listen, I speak from experience. That'll get you arrested. You know, the last time I did that, they did not take too kindly to it.
I had to go bail him out. It was a
whole
thing.
This weird bald guy grabbed me and told me I was going to die. You know, like, oh.
Yeah.
No, my spirit guide told me I wasn't insinuating anything.
Yeah, no.
But it's even worse because she says not only are you going to die, your spirit's not going to be able to rest unless you're returned to your hometown, which is Prince Edward Island. I don't know a whole lot about that, but I've seen it on nature documentaries a bunch, because that's where like the orca whales are.
Mm-hmm.
They're always like, "Oh, this is Prince Edward's Island Sound," or I don't know. They're like doing some crazy expeditions. Like there's that's where the orca whales meet or something. Something crazy happens there. And so you're saying it's not that easy to get human remains to like around at this time period anyways.
Right. I mean, it would have taken
refrigeration, stuff like that's not really popular. Yeah. So that's a heavy, that's heavy
burden
to bear.
Yeah.
I'd just go back home and stay home. And I'm not taking any chances.
I'm going to be here.
If you need me, I will be here.
Yeah,
I would you be avoiding me? All southern states.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come to mm-hmm. the island. I don't know that it was ever like an untimely death. I just think that they did. But on November 27th, 1899, while preparing for a performance in the town of Galveston, Texas.
Hey.
Oh.
Hey. Yeah.
Oh, I know Galveston.
We've talked about Galveston before.
Dirty, mm-hmm. dirty beaches.
Very dirty.
So
maybe it was cleaner then.
I hope.
Probably not.
It had to be. Jeez.
Still brown water and doo-doo brown sand, I'm sure.
Yeah. But. Right.
A lot of brown.
Mm-hmm.
Galveston means brown in that
language. Yeah.
but he was 55 years old, and while preparing for this performance, Coughlin got sick, and he died of heart failure in his hotel room.
Oh, wow.
So the newspapers indicated that he had been suffering from acute gastritis or inflammation of the stomach for about a month prior to his death. And they said that that was due to his alcoholism that he developed after his divorce 5 years earlier. And apparently, I don't have any details about the divorce, it was more of a scandal. You know, so people knew about it. It was, you know, things were written about it. And, you know, this really caused him a lot of stress. And so he started drinking. And, you know, you drink more, you don't eat, you develop a lot of stomach problems. And so that's what people kind of attributed this to. And it was just too much for his heart. Mm-hmm. And so he winds up dying. Now, his body was sealed in a lead-lined coffin in preparation for shipment to the town of Souris on Prince Edward Island. Now, he owned a summer home, and that was where he was supposed to be buried.
Mm.
Now, his widow expressed a desire to have his remains cremated in St. Louis. And she said, this was what he wanted. He told me, I want to be cremated. I don't know if he said, I want to be cremated in St. Louis.
Yeah, right.
Why? You know,
get me back home and then cremate me. And she's like, it'll be cheaper to ship
him. It'd be a lot easier to carry him around.
Yeah.
But you know, can't be cheaper. Maybe if she got him cremated in the place that he died, it would be cheaper. But you're already paying to ship the body in a lead-lined coffin to St. Louis.
Right.
Is that what you said? St. Louis?
Yeah. St. Louis.
Why would it be?
Were they having a special?
Like, why was the coffin lined in lead? Did they just do that back then?
No, his coffin was lined with lead because he was eventually supposed to be shipped to Prince Edward Island. So they lined his coffin with lead to preserve the remains.
Oh,
so this was special. It was special that his was lined with lead because when they were going over all of his, you know, last wishes, they said, he wants to go back to Canada. So they put him in this special coffin so that his remains would be preserved for that trip.
There's your first clue. He didn't want to be cremated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody knew. They were like, this guy does not want to be cremated. He wants to be shipped back. So we're going to put him in this special coffin so that we can do that. They packed him in this lead-lined coffin, and they put him in an above-ground concrete vault in Galveston's Lakeview Cemetery. And they had to keep him here because they had to do something with him. Because now there was this, does he go back to Prince Edward Island or does he go to St. Louis? So we've got conflicting stories. We've got to figure it out. So we're going to stick him here until we figure it out. And it wasn't for a few days. He was there for 9 months. Okay?
What?
9 months.
And he's just like, if you believe he's just a ghost, a sad, angry ghost, yeah. right? Because yeah. he's not
stuck in this lead
legend.
Coffin. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, oh, waiting God. To do, and now he's just kind of stuck there.
His widow, was that who he was married to
it,
at the time?
It's
or,
not
or
clear
is this
because
ex-wife?
It did not give, it didn't give the name of his, of mm-hmm. his ex-wife, and it didn't give the name of the widow. It might have been one and the same. I guess if it was 5 years, but you know, who knows?
I'm just wondering.
It may have
like,
been scandalous because he immediately got remarried when he got divorced. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I'm just wondering what the motivation would be. Like, am I missing a cultural aspect of this? Because like if you, your husband died and they wanted to go do something with their body, I mean, he's dead. Yeah. Like, why do you care what they're doing?
I'm not really sure, but it does seem like that Coughlin had quite a bit of money because this would have just doing this, just putting him in this special coffin and just having him stored for that length of time would have been quite expensive. So that makes me think that somebody thought that they were owed a piece of this money and shipping him back to Canada was going to take too much of it.
Got it.
So while he is interred in this cemetery in Galveston, a hurricane came through the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh no.
And it hit Galveston and absolutely demolished it.
Oh, no.
It took down telegraph poles. In fact, this was the deadliest natural disaster in American history. It says at least 6,000 Americans are believed to have died in this storm, and the modern equivalent of the monetary damage would have been over $1 billion.
Good.
Oh my
today.
God.
Yeah. And that was just in Galveston, just
that's
in the Galveston
too.
Area.
Like Galveston usually doesn't get hit with bad hurricanes
right.
like that.
Yeah. 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 They usually turn north and go that mm-hmm. direction. So, you know,
it
it's usually spared. Yeah.
They were angry.
Yep.
Because he wasn't where he's supposed to be.
And this lady's trying to cremate him and they'll send a hurricane.
A lot of times, like with hurricanes, it's not so much the storm that does the damage, it's the flooding that comes along with it. And the cemetery where Coughlin was flooded, and it was torn completely apart. Mm. And the six graveyards that were in Galveston were wiped out, and all of these bodies that were in these above ground, like mausoleums, they all floated out to sea.
Oh yep. my God.
Oh,
I actually
Lord.
Remember when Hurricane Katrina happened,
mm-hmm.
that was like a huge problem. All of the cemeteries, because they had these like really old cemeteries mm-hmm. all over the city in Louisiana. And all of the coffins were just floating around
yep.
the, like, flooded.
I yeah. had friends who lived down there just outside New Orleans when Katrina hit. And they would tell us stories about dogs running down the street carrying body parts because they floated up out of mm-hmm. the cemeteries. And you'd just see a neighborhood dog running down with Jim Bob's arm or
oh,
something.
Oh, my
and,
gosh.
Oh my God, if my dog did that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about making a bad situation so much worse.
Right.
It's yeah. like, oh, yep. it's already a horrible situation. Yeah.
Yep. Like, do you collect this limb and try to find a house for it? Or do you just like, hey, Fido, please go yeah. destroy
bury
that
it.
Evidence.
Yeah.
Give me
right.
that
yeah.
arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to DNA test it? I don't know. It just seems
you can have it. Just go eat it in the woods somewhere. I don't want to see
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to fight my dog to take it away.
No. They
but
can have it.
There was an article written about the damage that Galveston's cemeteries took. It was published on September 20th, 1900 in the St. Louis Daily Globe Democrat. It says, in the cemeteries of Galveston were vaults made of stone and brick and cement. They were little houses with shelves or niches upon which rested the caskets. Some of the finest of these residences of the dead, as well as some of the humbler, were wrecked by the hurricane. They are now ruins of wood, masonry, and metal.
Mm.
Now, from this debris, it said it was evident that masses of floating material from destroyed houses were carried into the cemeteries and against these vaults with such force as it crushed them. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so it blew it over, flood water. No, it says that all the debris crushed these little brick and cement buildings.
Wow.
Okay, so bodies buried underground, they weren't disturbed except for maybe a few. But the vaults were crushed in such a manner as to leave the caskets exposed to the wind and the current from the floodwaters. Mm-hmm. So the storm basically just carried off the caskets. So all these dead people were just drugged back just out gone to the Gulf of Mexico.
In the ocean. So they're never going to find those again.
Right, no, you're not going to find
them. No. Who pays for that? Maybe this is a dumb question, but like when you know how you have to buy a cemetery plot?
Uh-huh.
What happens if your grave is grave robbed or desecrated or like vandalized? Does your family pay for that? Or like, do you get insurance that you prepay for on the plot to fix things that need fixing? Or is that the insurance of the cemetery?
Probably not at that time.
Right.
But yeah, I would say now, you know, in the modern times, the cemetery has insurance. So like if your headstone was damaged by a storm, you know, they would repair it. You know, if something happened and, you know, your grave was disturbed, they would repair it. But, you know, if it's so bad that the remains are actually gone, I don't imagine they were able to do much of anything. They tried. But they didn't have a whole lot of success. Okay.
So this guy that's in a lead-lined coffin, though, I mean, his coffin would surely just like sink down somewhere.
You would think.
That's not going to float, right?
Yeah, you would think. But because they were lined with metal, they had an outer covering of wood, and that was enough to float a lot of the caskets. Okay.
It's like a cargo ship, like a mini one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of the caskets were found, you know, a few miles away from the cemeteries they came from. But there were some that were never recovered. And it was just assumed that these were all, you know, at the bottom of the Gulf somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the papers reported that one of the missing coffins was that of Charles Coughlin, that they actually did. They searched for his in particular because he was a well-known actor at the time, but they never found it. Now, Coughlin had a friend who was another actor. His name was Sir Johnston Forbes Robertson. What a name. That is about as
that
pretentious as you can get. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sir Johnston Forbes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would. That sounds like somebody that acts now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No,
yeah,
that's,
let's get,
that's a
get
Nepo,
Sir
baby.
Johnston Forbes Robertson yeah. in here.
Yep. Now it's Sir Johnston Forbes Robertson the fifth or something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But Forbes Robertson wrote the autobiography. Man, these people, I mean, they just. Yeah, I'm just going to write my own book. I mean, it's like everybody, if you were an actor or whatever, you had an autobiography. So Forbes
Robertson
wrote one.
I've been thinking about writing my own. Just
you should
down
write
mine.
Yeah, you should
story.
Write mine, and I'll write yours. And we'll say it's
chapter
an autobiography.
One. Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be an autobiography because we'll write it in the car. So we'll make it an auto.
Autobiography. I like
that's
that.
A good dad joke.
Yeah, that's right. So he wrote his autobiography and published it in 1925. It was called A Player Under Three Reigns, like R-E-I-G-N-S, reign, like a king would reign. Now, he said he was really a bizarre character. He said that of Coughlin's coffin, he said it bore him around Florida, up the coast about 1,500 miles. So he says wow, this guy's coffin floated around Florida.
Around
and then
the
went
tail.
Up the East Coast towards Prince Edward Island.
That can't be.
Right.
Oh, but because his spirit's trying
factual?
To get back.
Yeah.
And so his spirit released the hurricane to dislodge
yeah, to get him, oh. Get him out of
to get
town.
Him back.
Yeah.
It, wow.
Didn't you just see his ghost sitting on it with a paddle? This is going to take forever. But
he probably
gonna...
just grabbed some bones of whoever else was floating by him and used that as an oar.
So in some ways he was being, you know, dramatic by saying this, but it was his speculation that they couldn't find Coughlin's coffin because it had floated back to Prince Edward Island. You know, there was no evidence of that. But
there's no evidence that it didn't happen.
Except
that's true.
The fact that 8 years later, in October, a fisherman from Prince Edward Island headed out into the Gulf of St. Lawrence off the island's north shore, and they put their nets in the water, and they saw a really weird oblong floating object on the waves.
No
so
way.
They went and got it, and they towed it to shore. And they were like, hey, this is somebody's coffin.
No.
They said it was covered with barnacles and seashells, and it had evidently been adrift for many, many years. So
what the?
When they figured out this is a coffin, they decided, well, let's try to figure out who it is. So they pried the coffin open. And inside was the body of a middle-aged man whose name was engraved on a silver plate, Charles Francis Coughlin.
Wow.
And it says that, you know, he had finally returned home just as the fortune teller had predicted.
Wow.
So this guy's coffin would have had to leave Galveston, Texas, float around in the Gulf of Mexico, make it around the southern tip of Florida, and then go north all the way up the East Coast past, past Maine and get to Prince Edward Island.
That's insane. That's,
yeah.
That, to me, feels super haunted, especially because the one guy had, like, a suspicion. Yeah. You know, oh, man, how good would you feel if you were that one guy that wrote the biography?
Oh, yeah.
And then that happened. You would be like, I should probably continue to write because I am a psychic.
Yeah, maybe he's going to become the new fortune teller that grabs people on the street and is like, you're going to die.
You're going to die. And then your coffin's going to float to New England. You know,
I also love the imagery of the coffin having barnacles on it and like seashells and seaweed. It's just, it's so spooky and mystical. And like, I don't know, maybe there were some mermaids pushing his coffin up there.
Yeah.
Something weird obviously happened.
I just looked it up, and there is one ocean current that does travel from, but it would have, it starts over at the tip of Louisiana, and it does kind of flow down and around and back up north, but it would still have to get from Galveston, Texas, all the way over to the other side of the tip of Louisiana to even catch that current.
Oh, interesting.
So the hurricane was necessary. The spirit that sent the hurricane knew they had to catch that current.
Yep.
It's like in Finding Nemo. They knew they had to catch the ride. They sent the hurricane to get the coffin in the current, and then they just rode it. But 8 years is crazy to me that it didn't just disintegrate, especially in the ocean.
Yeah,
right.
You know, like you would think that the wood would be eaten away, but... Right.
And then once the wood
or just fill with water and sink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a haunted coffin.
I mean, they'd have to seal it, and then the wood would have to hold up long enough to float. I mean, eventually the wood would just become waterlogged, I would think.
Yeah.
So they took Coughlin's body and they brought it to the nearest village, which proved to be the exact same village where he had been born.
Wow.
And they laid him to rest in the churchyard. The yard of the very same church in which Coughlin had been baptized.
What?
Yeah.
Sorry, that's crazy. Now, this is myself echoing back.
Now, the folklore is Sterling Ramsey, who I mentioned earlier. He says somehow along the trackless sea, Charles Coughlin had come home to stay. I'm like, phew, okay. Now, that is the story, okay? So, when you think about it, you're like, God, this is a crazy story. It's kind of hard to believe. That's because a lot of people say this is just an urban legend, okay? And the Sir Johnston Forbes Robertson's autobiography is what made it the legend, that he was the one that said it. So that's, you know, that's how it all came about. But nobody really knew, you know, it wasn't just widely known until in 1927, a cartoon drawn by Robert Ripley, the same Robert L. Ripley, who is the founder of the Ripley's Believe It or Not franchise. Mm. Oh. It appeared in on September 15th in an issue of the New York Evening Post. Ripley's cartoon depicts a forlorn casket washed up on the beach of some maritime cove, and the handwritten caption reads, "The actor, Charles Coughlin, comes home. He died in 1897. He actually died in 1899. And he was buried in Galveston when the tragic flood came. His coffin was washed out to sea, and the Gulf Stream carried him around Florida and up the coast to Prince Edward Island, 2,000 miles distant where he was born." So this is a perfect story for Robert L. Ripley. I mean, you know, it's right, a believe absolutely. It or not really kind of thing. But turns out Coughlin did own a summer home on the Fortune River, which is just west of Souris, Prince Edward Island. And he was actually born in Paris, France, not on Prince Edward Island.
What?
And his parents were of Irish and English descent. His lead lined casket, which was indeed washed out to sea by the Galveston hurricane, was reportedly discovered in January of 1907 in a lonely Texan marsh about 10 miles from the Lakeview Cemetery where it was stored.
I thought you were going to tell me it ended up in Paris.
No, that'd be even weirder.
Not gonna believe that.
But they took his body and brought it to New York by his family, and he was cremated. Okay, that's a key point there. The true story says that his body was brought to New York by his family, where he was cremated. So there's some, you would think, okay, it's a good story. It's not true. This is what happened. But there was some oddities that occurred after this. Okay. Because there was this legend that his casket had floated all the way to Prince Edward Island. And now that there was this 1927 cartoon, by Ripley, people started hearing about it. And pretty soon everybody kind of knew this story. But after reading the cartoon in the New York Evening Post, Coughlin's only daughter, who was also an actress named Gertrude Coughlin Pitou, who lived in Bayside, Long Island, wrote the Post wondering where Ripley had gotten this crazy story. And she wanted to find out, was there any truth to this, that his coffin would have floated all the way to Prince Edward Island? And if so, she wanted to go find him. This is his only daughter.
Right.
Now, Pitou's inquiry implied that either Coughlin's body was not recovered in Texas and cremated in New York.
Right.
Or that the actor's only daughter was unaware that it had happened, that he had been found and taken to New York and cremated.
So what family did it?
What family did it? I mean, whoever did it would have had to absorb that cost.
Mm-hmm.
So if it wasn't family, who would have done it? And if he only had the one daughter, how in the world would they not have let her know that this was what happened?
Right.
Yeah, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I just choose to believe that he floated back.
I know.
To me, it seems like the simplest.
Yeah.
It feels like that's the right answer.
I'm with you, Nat. I think that out of those two stories, that actually seems more plausible than they come across this guy's coffin and some generous benefactor gets this guy all the way back to New York and has him cremated and doesn't say anything to his family.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. You know, I like I said, it makes more sense that he floated all the way back. But Robert Ripley decided he was going to write back to Gertrude Patou and informed her that he had gotten his information from the biographies of Coughlin's good friends and fellow actors, Sir Johnston Forbes Robertson and Lily Langtry. So at Patou's request, the New York Evening Post sent a cablegram to Forbes Robertson in London inquiring as to where he got his information. So the actor who had worked with Coughlin many, many times, he said that a few years prior to his death, he sent before Robes Forberson died, he sent this telegram. He said, "I distinctly remember it was given to me by one in whom I had confidence. Indeed, I believe two different people told me this story, that his coffin had floated that far."
And he doesn't know. He doesn't remember who they were, though.
Yeah, either that or he just didn't say.
Mm.
So then Ford Robertson tells Patou to contact Coughlin's old theater producer, George C. Tyler. And it was later confirmed that Tyler, he had heard the story of Coughlin's coffin washing up on Prince Edward Island as well. And he said, not far from his former property, said, "It has been told to me by several persons in whom I have confidence. They all say, my sources are solid, but I'm not really telling you who they are.
Right.
But we got really good sources. I trust these people with everything." And they said this crazy story really happened.
Right.
Okay. Now, the true fate of Coughlin's body remains a mystery to this day. Says that really great tale of his remains finding all the way back to the quote place of his birth in Prince Edward Island. It must have been fabricated by the misconception that the actor was actually a native of Prince Edward Island, which he wasn't. But his daughter's ignorance of the alleged recovery of her father's corpse outside of Galveston and his subsequent cremation in New York City is pretty strong evidence that never took place either, hinting that the actor's casket may have indeed washed up on the shores of Prince Edward Island and that some of his closest friends totally believed that story. But we really don't know the truth. But, you know, it's a really, really cool story. And the fact that the explanation of it, that his coffin was found and then taken to New York, it seems absolutely ridiculous because his only daughter didn't realize that had happened. That just seems like, it was an owl. Mm-hmm. You know what?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. I mean, it just doesn't fit. It doesn't make sense that, you know, at that time, somebody wouldn't have. I mean, his daughter was an actress. People knew who she was, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like I said, this wasn't like this random hobo. Who nobody knew. Lots of people knew him. He was known all across the U.S.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, the fact that somebody would come across his body and realize who he was and then just go, let's ship him to New York. That don't make any sense to me at all. Well, they would have been able to get in touch with her.
Yeah, we've heard this before where skeptics try to debunk something that happened. And the debunking actually seems harder.
More
far-fetched.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. More far-fetched. It's harder for this to happen than just this to be a mystery or to be something paranormal. And it's not even the low-hanging fruit. Like we've talked about before, the fruit's rotted on the ground, and you're trying to pick it up and put it back together because this theory, I don't know how it's going to work. And that's the first thing I thought when you said the daughter was like, wait, where'd you hear about this? Because
can you imagine?
I didn't cremate my dad. I don't know.
She doesn't even know the story about him making it all the way to Prince Edward Island. She gets that from the cartoon.
I guess we just have to go to Prince Edward Island and look in the cemetery, right?
Yeah, that was what my question was going to be. Has anyone found a grave marker for him in any location?
Not that I could find. There is a grave there, but they're not sure what remains or if they are actually his. They are looking at it going, yeah, there's a grave here. There's a lot of them. We're not really sure that if any of these are actually Charles Coughlin, but there's plenty of places where he would have been buried, but nobody knows 100%, if any of those are him. So
if we have listeners in near Prince Edward Island, please go
look,
start digging,
and call us, FaceTime us from there.
Yes. Yeah,
if you find a barnacle covered coffin, please let us know.
But it does kind of fit with Prince Edward Island. I mean, we did a show about a haunted theater that's on Prince, and I mean, look, it's small. We're talking about a small island. There's a haunted lighthouse there.
There's several, and
they have their own sea monster that people have reported.
What's it called? Oh.
I don't think they really ever gave it a name.
We never found an actual name for the sea monster.
But I think one of the most recent sightings was like from 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah, this is really pretty.
I'm gonna call it Princey.
Yeah. I remember why I've heard of Prince Edward Island, because Anne of Green Gables is written by this author who I think grew up on Prince Edward Island and then there's all these different drawings that are from there. This is like a very popular cottagecore destination. I know because there's like a couple of different YouTube vloggers that I really like that make cottagecore content. Mm-hmm. And they're always like, Prince Edward Island is my dream place to go because I really loved Anne of Green Gables. Yep. And
it's
that's
beautiful
where it's based
there.
Off of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I knew it was something in my head. For some reason, I thought it was orcas, but it's not. It's this Anne of Green Gables.
Yeah. And if y'all haven't looked into it, y'all should look up the haunted places on Prince Edward Island, because you wouldn't think that this small little island off Canada's coast would have haunted stuff. But there's 2-3 different haunted locations there. There's supposedly a graveyard that was disturbed there when they were building a theater.
Oh.
And so it stirred up ghosts because of that, and really interesting history out of Prince Edward Island. So it doesn't shock me that there's another legend tied to this place.
Yeah.
That
it's
someone
a haunted place.
Yeah. That someone was drawn back to this place even after death. It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, he did live there. I mean, he did have a home there. So they that was all verified. That was true. And he did love it.
Has anybody checked Paris, France, for his grave?
Not that I've found.
Oh my God, it's so big. That would be really hard, probably, right?
Yeah. Well, they have to have some sort of, I mean, we have online records on ancestry.com. You can type in anyone's name or findagrave.com. There's got to be some equivalent in Europe.
Allie, this is a job for you.
Yeah.
This is like the perfect job for Alyssa. She's
very
good at
my
finding
monocle.
Records.
Yeah.
Unless he's in the catacombs.
My pipe, my monocle.
Yep.
But yeah, that's my first question. But my second thing is, you had mentioned, Matt, that a lot of skeptics were saying, well, this island wasn't even his hometown. It was Paris, France. Like, let me put on my fedora and just shatter your dreams with my skepticism. But I don't think that that really matters, because in the same way that we were talking on our episode that you guys came on, my mom is from North Carolina. she doesn't want to be buried there. She just was born there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where she grew up is going to be California. She only had a couple of years in Kansas and a couple days in North Carolina or a couple weeks. So I don't think that that really matters. Right. If he spent most of his time on this island, then that is his hometown.
Right.
And the island's literally known for being beautiful. That's why that's what it's known for. It's just having gorgeous landscapes.
Yep. And he obviously loved it because he talked about it a lot. So, you know, if he was born in Paris and, you know, as he came of age, he comes to Prince Edward Island and he just falls in love with the place. So if anybody asks him during his career, where are you from? You know, he doesn't have any attachment to Paris. He tells him, I'm from Prince Edward Island. You know, it's beautiful there. I want to go back. I want to live there. I have a home there. I want to be buried there. I mean, you know, everybody has something like that. And, you know, so a lot of people may just assume that, oh, well, he was born on Prince Edward Island. He says he's from there. That's what that means. Or, you know, that's what they took it to mean. So he may have never, ever let somebody know I was born there. They just assumed it and he just allowed it. You know, if he loved that place, if he was drawn to that place, of course, you know, if his spirit was going to go back somewhere, it would be there, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think your place of birth isn't necessarily your hometown. It's wherever you feel the most drawn to. Like I was born in a little rinky dink Texas town. I don't, you know, that's where I was born, but I don't want to go be buried there.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. I'm thinking of it because, like, okay, so if I died, I was just thinking about this because I live in Georgia, but then I lived in California and L.A. for, like, 12 years, and then I lived in Oklahoma for, like, 10 years, and then I was born and spent my childhood in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't even know where someone would think to bury me if I didn't say because I've only been in Georgia for, like, 2 years. This isn't my home, but it would be kind of weird to go back to L.A. because, like, that feels really lonely because it's just, like, a big city that I was in when I was in my 20s. That was just kind of fun. You know, I don't really have, like, a tie to it. But then, like, I don't – maybe Oklahoma because that's where I spent my, like, teenage years and young adulthood.
But
I don't know.
But then your parents are in Texas. So, yeah, I see
my parents
what you
are
mean.
In Texas. Yeah. So if you're someone like this actor who, for a living, traveled around the United States and possibly the world – then it would make sense that you would pick a spot like Prince Edward Island where you felt like you were most grounded, where you felt like that was the majority of your like growing years, like formative years, you know, it would make sense.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I see it quite a bit. I have patients that have lived here for years and this is not where they're from. This is where their children move. And they came here because they wanted to be closer to their grandchildren or whatever. But this is this has never been their home, even if they've been here for 20 years. And, you know, they'll pass away or like, well, we're taking them back to Ohio. That's where the family plot is, or that's where they purchased their burial policy, whatever, you know. And so they get shipped to somewhere else. You know, they're not buried here because this was not their home. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think that you can definitely lock anything in because, you know, that he wasn't born there. I think, you know, if that's what he loved, you know, that's where he was going to go back to.
Yep. And I'm going to stick.
Go ahead. Also, if there is a sea monster off the coast, then couldn't the sea monster have gone and fetched the coffin and brought it ashore?
Surely
that is the most logical explanation. So
I had that thought too. As soon as we started talking about the sea monster, I'm like, he just took a vacation and went and picked up this guy's remains and brought him back.
And case closed.
We've done.
I do like to. I do like to stick to that. The initial legend. That his coffin made it back up there, because maybe it is a legend, but it seems to be the most flushed out of the stories that Matt told. You know, the other one, we found him in a marsh and then took him to New York and cremated him. That's very simple. There seems to be more detail and more I don't want to say evidence, but more to that initial story that it floated. And it is physically possible. It's not an impossible thing,
right?
Since the tide does go that way, or the current does go that way. It would kind of be possible. It would be a miracle, but maybe the hurricane was tied into it, like Nat said. And, you know, I don't know. I like that theory better.
Listen, we've talked about feet washing up on the shore.
True.
I mean, you know, if you're like, oh, yeah, there's feet that wash up, you know, and you're like, yeah, but that guy's coffin never could have floated all the way back. Well, where the hell did these feet come from? You know, come on, there's weird stuff out there, you know?
Yeah.
There's bizarre things happen in the ocean that we can't explain, sure. You know?
100%.
So if this is the one thing you're like, yeah, no, that never happened. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
There's UFOs in our oceans, okay?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be an alien base off the coast of Malibu, like not too far from me right now, like an hour and a half from me right now.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, there's a lot of, like, the Bermuda Triangle, a lot of people say that could be a wormhole that opens up in the thing. So we've talked about wormholes a lot on this show, and you know, it's possible. Anything, if you want to believe anything is possible. And he could have slipped into a wormhole that jettisoned him up there to Prince Edward Island, since there's so much weird stuff that happens on that island. We were talking about it being a nexus for paranormal stuff in that episode that we did on it, because it just seems like so much is concentrated there. And there could be, you know how they talk about ley lines crossing and creating a power spot?
Mm-hmm.
Could that be something there in Prince Edward Island, and things are just drawn back to it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who's to say?
Right.
It's weird. And, you know, they've even got they've got a fossil of that sea monster, or what they think.
What?
Yeah. There's actually there's a museum in Alberta where they've reconstructed fossils from that area, and one of them resembles the sea serpent that people have reportedly seen, you know. So not only do they have these legends, they have some evidence that the legends are real, you know. So it's really strange. And Allie, you said you like ghost ships. There's a ghost ship legend up there too.
I love ghost ships.
You know, it's
so good.
You just can't have this much weird paranormal stuff happen on this little bitty island and not believe that this guy's coffin somehow made it back there.
Right.
I mean, there's people who get lost at sea for like a year, like they're just stuck in a current in the middle of nowhere, and that's like a living person who couldn't figure out how to get out of that. So I could totally see an inanimate object like a coffin getting stuck in some strange current and for 8 years and then showing back up.
Yeah, very true.
So very true. I went on findagrave.com just because I wanted to see, and I searched Charles Francis Coughlin, and there are two headstones for someone named Charles Francis Coughlin. First one is in Quinton, Pennsylvania. The second one is in Arne Prior, Ontario, Canada, at the Albert
Ontario,
Street Cemetery.
Canada.
The first
guy
was
Ontario from Prince Edward. I'm map questing it or mapping it.
We're on the case. Don't worry, guys. The first Charles Coughlin, says he was born in 1896. The second one says he was born 1878.
Too young because he was 55 years old and he died in 1899. You know, so he would have been born at like 1841. So that would have been his birthday.
Yeah, both these guys don't work then.
Wonder
Bummer.
If it was a pseudonym or something. I, you know, when they buried him then, it's hard to know what they put on the headstone, if they put a headstone up.
That's a good point.
You know, and it could have been not his full name or something that they put on there.
Or a nickname, or, right. Like you said, maybe that was his stage name, his actor name. Because pretty much everyone had stage names back then. I mean, people still do, but I feel like it was way more prevalent back then.
Yeah, and he was like Forbes Richards the something or whatever.
It was a lot easier to change your name to become famous so that you could distance yourself from any, you know, skeletons in your closet. You know, right. It was a lot more difficult for people to track all that information down. I mean, you could move cities and completely reinvent yourself and it would be too difficult to find records to trace back to who you really were. It was common, and you know, that's the thing. If he took on a stage name, they may not ever figure out who exactly he was.
Right. Right.
It's so I can't get past that his daughter didn't know the cremation story. That to me, like, then that means it didn't happen. There's no alternative.
Well, the fact that the cremation story includes the fact that his family did it. Well, it doesn't talk about any other family. And how would you not be able to contact this guy's daughter and at least go, hey, we found your dad's remains, you know?
You said one of the graves was in Ontario, California?
Yeah, but it has the wrong birthday. It's too
okay. Maps
young.
Is like freaking out because I keep saying Ontario, Canada, and it keeps going to Ontario, California. Because like you type out Ontario, CA, and then it's just like automatically like, oh, it'll take you 1 day and 13 hours of driving. And I'm like, shut the up.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to go.
We're on an investigation right now about a ghost ship that was actually a coffin being pulled by the Kraken onto an island. Get with the program, Google.
Yeah, it was freaking out. It was taking way too long. And so then I was just like, okay, fine, Lake Ontario. That's got to be close to Ontario, Canada. And that's like not that close either.
They pulled up a Lake Ontario in
but I don't actually know where Ontario is. Yeah, it might not even be a city. It actually might be like a province. I can't.
Ontario is a province.
Okay, that makes sense. That's why it was trying to take me to the city of Ontario, California, because it's like, what are you trying to do right now?
It's not super far, but it's not exactly close either.
But it's irrelevant because it's the wrong age.
True.
For the guy,
true.
Right?
Yeah. It doesn't.
Unless he lied about his age, which a lot of actors do.
Yeah.
How far off is the age?
Yeah. Could be.
This person is younger than what the actor was. And I feel like actors lie the other direction. Actors always say they're younger than they are.
Yeah. So. But you said that person is younger.
Oh, yeah. I guess older? That's true. No, they're younger.
Yeah. Actors always say they're younger than they are.
Hmm.
I see what you're saying.
I don't know. Maybe.
Could be. There was apparently a priest named Charles Coughlin as well. That's the other thing, is that the name is not that uncommon. You know, so when you just try to search the name, you get the legend, but you get a ton of other people too that aren't him.
Yeah. Well, we might just never know, I guess.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that. Leave it a mystery.
Yeah.
You know, that it's a fantastic story.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It is.
So, I mean, I'm good with it just being a legend, and I'd retell this story. So.
Oh, yeah.
But
I probably
when
will.
I die, I hope somebody starts a legend about me. I don't care if it's not the truth. Just make it really wild, you know?
Mm-hmm. Adam and I have a buddy
that
he told us he wants us to at his funeral at the gravesite, he wants us to stand in the background wearing dark suits and holding an umbrella and don't say anything just so his family thinks that he was into some kind of weird.
Like he was a spy or something.
I told him. I would at the end, I would be at the end of the line for viewing right before they put him under and I would drop a note like into his casket or something. And so I'd be the last thing people would see that and go, wonder what that's all about.
And
it would
and then
just,
lore would begin.
And the note
would start making stories.
Yeah. The note that I would do would just be a drawing of a penis, though. I
I told That's Natalia great. I want her to wheel a cannon onto the Santa Monica Pier shove me into the canon, my corpse, into the canon wearing an Evel Knievel suit. And then I want her to recite the words to All Star by Smash Mouth and then shoot me out of the cannon into the ocean, exploding in a red mist, and then a whale eats my remains.
There you
That's
go.
What
there
I
you
want.
Go.
Yeah. I told
you heard it.
Ashley, my wife, that I wanted to be stuffed and set in a corner of the house somewhere,
oh
like taxidermy. She goes, absolutely not.
Yeah. Goes, yeah,
you're being
that.
Cremated. I said, but I want to be stuffed.
That's how you get ghosts. Yeah. That's haunted.
Yeah. I was like, but I could be sitting in the corner. You could have like a Graveyard Tales hat on me and I could be doing this, you know, or.
I'd like, if I could have anything, like a Viking funeral,
yeah,
you know, where they like build a ship and then mm-hmm. put a pyre and like put the coins over your eyes and like send you off and everyone can, you know, drink mead and
yeah, that's number
send
two
me to
for
Valhalla.
Me. Yeah.
You know, yeah. There were, I read a story, a guy actually did that.
But, a Viking what? Burial?
Yeah. He floats his buddy's body out there and then tries to shoot it with a flaming arrow and he can't hit it and it gets too far away. And now he's just got his buddy's remains floating down this river.
Oh, no.
He got arrested.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how I assumed
yeah,
that
you really
end.
Can't. You really can't do that, as it turns out, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You can't it's come back illegal. From that.
The poor kids playing on the river that find this boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you think, oh, a free boat. Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's why you have to do it out in the ocean.
Yeah.
Like in the international waters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Set a rubber dinghy, though, so that if anything goes wrong, it'll sink before too long. You don't have to worry about
oh,
it.
Good oh, good plan.
Yeah. Thought that through.
Well, hey, y'all, thank you so much for coming on. This has been a lot of fun. I mean,
it really has.
We love doing shows with, you know, other people, and we would love to do this with you guys again at some point. I mean, you know,
yeah.
we you know, it breaks it up because, you know, we know our listeners get tired of hearing our voices all the time. You know, they get to hear somebody else, you know, every once in a while. But yeah.
I mean, y'all's vibe fits our vibe too. So it works for our show and our listeners and all that. So yeah. we do
it's
appreciate
nice to
it.
Just sit here and listen too. Like, we didn't have to do anything.
Yeah,
you know,
this was great.
I can just sit here.
Yeah,
this is really easy
yeah.
for us.
That's how we felt on y'all's show too. It was great. It was fun.
Oh yeah,
informative, and I didn't have to lose a couple more brain cells doing research. So
yep. Oh, right. We have so few left. So it's just really
yeah, right.
nice to be a spectator.
So, but
thank you guys for having us.
Absolutely.
We had a great time.
And before we sign
anytime.
Off, why don't you guys tell everybody in the graveyard where they can find Let's Get Haunted?
Let'sGetHaunted.com.
You can find our podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. We're literally everywhere. Just search Let's Get Haunted. If you want to see like more in touch with us, I guess we're kind of active on Instagram. Our handle is @Let'sGetHaunted. And then we have like a link tree on our Instagram so you can find it. But if you don't have Instagram, as a last resort, you can go to letsgethaunted.com. We made our own website. So it is it's kind of like being adrift at sea for 8 years in a lead lined coffin, you know?
We did the same thing. So we feel you.
We made it in 2019 and then never updated it. The only thing yeah. we update is the merch page because we have to tell right. you when things sell out. But other than that, like if you go to the About Us tab on our website, well, I won't spoil it for you. If you guys want to go check it out, letsgethaunted.com. But it has no information about us.
That's funny. I'll put some links to y'all stuff in the show notes so
thank
they can
you.
Go down there and click on that and find y'all.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yay.
Yep.
Yeah,
right.
We had a great time.
Yep. Glad to have y'all on. We'll have to do it again.
All right.
Definitely.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Yep. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Nat and Allie from the Let's Get Haunted podcast. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
Please, guys, go and check them out. You can find it on the same places you can find Graveyard Tales. Anywhere
yep.
you can find a podcast, you can find Let's Get Haunted. Remember, they upload every Wednesday. So go check them out, and we thank them for coming on the show tonight. It, a lot of fun. You know, I told Adam, I said, they remind me of a female version of Us a little bit,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
With their approach and kind of their ideas about things. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. All right. So guys, don't forget to go and check out our Facebook group. That's where you can reach out to us. You can share your personal stories. You can ask for help, send a dad joke or something like that. It's a great, it's a great environment and it's a safe place. So go check it out. And you can, don't forget to go check out our website. It's graveyardpodcast.com. And there you can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise. You can listen to the show and you can become a patron. And as we said at the top of the show, we have tons of bonus content on our Patreon site, and our $10 patrons get our new show SideQuest. So go check that out. A lot of fun. Thanks again to Nat and Allie from Let's Get Haunted.
Oh, yeah.
And until next time, we'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.